98.9 K223 BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3 He's a wonder, and the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, once again, we thank you, Father, for this precious opportunity to come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, my Father. We count it an honor and a privilege that you will point unto every last one of us under the sound of my voice the golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that we can come boldly without any sense of guilt or condemnation or unrighteousness, because the way have already been made through all the things that your Son Jesus did for all mankind. For your delight was with him, and his delight was with the sons of mankind, with us, Father. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, then we have been made unto you kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth forever. And, Father, we count that an honor and a privilege, Father, and we take you up on the invitation. So here we are, Father, in your presence. Draw us nearer, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year, until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ, until we be just like you created us to be from the very beginning, that we might, Lord, reach our maximum potential while inspiring others to do so as well, Father. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, not only for what you've done, but for what you are doing and what you will continually do forever and ever and ever in the lives of your precious children, all mankind. Holy Spirit, we relinquish ourselves of all our abilities and all our information, all our knowledge, and all our charisma, and we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we would ask that you would do what God sent you to do, and that's to lead and guide us into the truth and the reality of his word that he spoke over us from the very beginning and through his Son, Jesus Christ. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in this broadcast today. Hallelujah. And as in always, we're careful to give you, the Father, the Son, all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, like I always say on this broadcast, and they bear repeating every time I come on here, you really are a mighty man, and you really are a mighty woman of the Most High God. You really are a king if you're in a male body, and you really are a queen if you're in a female body. It just simply means a ruler, not over people, but over all the circumstances and situations and symptoms that may confront your life. You are a king. You are a ruler over there. And not only are you a ruler, but we have been made unto our God in this order: kings and priests. Hallelujah. And we shall reign, watch this, on the earth forever. Glory to God. And you might not know that. That might not be your concept. And that might not be the big picture. Perhaps, man, you know, I'm sure it's not, because most people, big picture is to end up in heaven and live forever with God forever. But he said this, because of what Jesus done for us, that's in your Bible in Revelation chapter 5. He said, who can open up this book and tell us what's really going on? Got a whole lot of concepts about it. It got a lot of ideas, a lot of theology, and a whole lot of information. But who can really open up this thing and tell us what's really going on? And it said it wasn't nobody, you know. And it said, but behold, there was one who can open up these scrolls and unveil to us, man, what this word of God is really all about. Who? The line of the tribe of Judah. And because of what he done for us, that's his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Because of what he done for us, and we have been made to be unto our God, kingdom of priests, kings and priests, in that order, a ruler first. What's a king? That's a political figure. Hallelujah. What does a king do? He rule and reign over his territory, impacting it with his will and his intent and his desire and his purpose, producing men, a citizen that will produce a community that will express God's character, God's nature, God's government, God's governing influence, and God's culture in a foreign territory that he called Earth. Called colonization. And he has been made unto our God priests. What that? That's a spiritual figure, not a religious figure, a spiritual figure. What a king do? He rule and reign. What a priest do? He's a spiritual representative. He's a representative of God and a representative of the kingdom of God. In some places, Jesus said it this way, you know, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And as righteousness of God, then we, and clean and justified and cleared of our guilt, then we become then not only rulers in our life, but representatives, glory to God, of this victory that we have of Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. But to represent man, Christ on earth, the work that he did, do also. As he is, and as he was, and as he is, us should be also. Listen, he was a suffering Savior, but now he's a reigning King. So that means, you know, we might have to suffer some things in life, but we can know this here, boy, he ain't suffering no more. He a reigning King. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we. Not just as he was a suffering Savior, but now he's a reigning King. So they come to tell us that even though we might be suffering in life now, boy, you get it. You don't have to suffer no more. Why? Because he suffered for you. And if he suffered for us, then why we got to suffer? You know, you don't have to take no thought, man, of how we going to make it, what we going to eat, what we going to drink, where we going to live, how we going to pay this, how we going to get this done. Our Heavenly Father know, man, everything that we have need of. And if he know that we have everything that we have need of, then, man, he will supply that every need. But if you don't know that and don't exercise no faith in that and no authority in that and no power in that, then you can continue to suffer. And all the time, man, you are reigning King with power, control, and influence over your life. Hallelujah. Not the circumstance, situation, and symptom. Instead of the circumstance, situation, and symptom dictating to us, man, we flip the script when we come to the knowledge of but what we have been made and who we are in Christ Jesus, and because of what he's done for us, what we have become, then you can flip the script. Hallelujah. And boy, begin to reign in life. Begin to represent, man, not our denominations, not our religions, not our theologies and all of that, but represent, man, the governing system of heaven on this earth. When on this, you can start that right now. How you start that right now? First thing you got to do is be born again. But in other words, first thing you got to do is come to the knowledge of your salvation, that it's a gift from God. For it is by grace that you are saved, through faith. And that's not of ourselves. That's a gift from God. And boy, when you come to the knowledge of that, man, and receive your free gift of salvation, what the Bible say? The penalty for sin is death. That's in Romans chapter 6. But the gift of God, 6, 23, I think it is. It says the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Glory to God. That's a gift from God. No, salvation is a gift from God. Everything that God do for us and has done for us, man, all those are gifts from God. Why? Because before the foundation of the world, he already chose us that we will be holy, just like him. And, man, I'm talking about, boy, covered in his love. Glory to God. When he chose that, before the foundation of the world, that was his original idea. That was his original intent. That was his original purpose and reason for creating mankind. Glory to God. Why? For that boy, through us, where he could establish his governing influence of his territory called heaven to a territory that he created and gave to you and I called the earth. For what purpose? Like I always say, so it might be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. What's that you're talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about, boy, the kingdom theology of the Bible. Not just the theology that we have and been trained in. All that's good and everything else. Don't misunderstand me, please. I'm not saying that our theology and all that, that's all evil or wrong and everything else. All I'm saying is that's just a means to an end. And then, and I say this all the time, too. The devil's most successful tactic against us is to get us preoccupied with the means and never coming to the knowledge, man, of the end. So that, for what purpose? So that we never get to our God-given purpose and destination. So he don't ever want you to know, man, about the kingdom theology of the Bible. Now, he don't mind us learning a whole lot of theology and a whole lot of study of the Bible and a whole lot of information of the Bible. But, boy, that's one thing that your enemy, the devil, don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of the kingdom theology of the Bible. You know, back in the early 2000s, you know, I went to Bible college for several semesters, you know. And, man, you know, I couldn't find no curriculums. No subject matters, no studies, no classes on the kingdom of God. A Bible college, a university. In fact, I went to one of the largest ones, the CBS, the College of Biblical Studies. It originated in Dallas, Texas, but it extended to Houston and to other places also. And during that time, I was living in Houston, you know. And I went to, you know, that Bible college for 3-4 semesters. And man, I'm talking about, boy, I learned a lot of things, and all those things aided and supported me in growing in the knowledge of God. But, boy, I ain't never had no classes, man, on the kingdom of God. I never had no studies, man, on the big picture. I learned a whole lot of other things, and like I say, they were good and helpful, you know. But I never, man, had any classes, man, where the subject matter was the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So they taught me how to proclaim the message and everything else, but they didn't give me the message to proclaim. They told me all the good news about Jesus Christ, but they didn't never teach me, man, the good news that Jesus Christ preached. But boy, let me tell you something. In spite of all that, man, we got a Holy Spirit living on the inside of us that's steady progressing. He ain't got to the consummation of everything that God has done yet, but he's steady progressing toward that end. Hallelujah. What's the end? That it be in your life here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the end. When it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. That's the big picture. What we've been praying all our lives. Lord, let your kingdom come to this earth. Why? So that it can be on earth, so that your will can be on earth just like it is in heaven. That's the big picture. And like I've shared with you many times on this broadcast, man, God established that in your Bible. He set that up and established it on the earth. It's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And those first two chapters right there is the only perfect chapters in the Bible. I mean, there's no sin. There's no broken fellowship. There's no death. There's no disobedience. There's just, man, you know, God and mankind walking and talking in the cool of the day. Unbroken fellowship. One. On their way to accomplishing, man, the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose and destiny for the creation of earth and why he placed mankind on it. Hallelujah. For what purpose, boy? So that through us, he can establish, boy, his kingdom, his governing influence of his territory in a territory called earth. It's called colonization. Hallelujah. When you influence a foreign territory with your government and with your policy and with your will and with your intent, and that's what God did, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. For he established man-made earth a colony of heaven, and the way he did that, man, was by placing mankind in a specific place on the earth. We call it the Garden of Eden. That little place that we know as the Garden of Eden, that's an environment and an atmosphere on a spot for that moment on the earth with an open door into a delightful place, the presence of the Lord. I'm not talking about the songs we sing. I'm talking about the literal presence of the Lord. Adam and Eve walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. No sin, no devil, no dying, none of that. It's just man on his way to fulfilling God's purpose for his life. What? To establish the culture, to establish, man, the governing system of heaven on this earth. What culture? The culture of heaven. What governing system? Like our governing system that we have here today? No, not that governing system. But the governing system of heaven. The way heaven is governed. The laws of heaven, the way heaven is operated. And that's why Jesus told the man, listen, man, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What's the key to the kingdom? How to live in the kingdom. How the kingdom operate. The governing system of the kingdom, not any kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And boy, the devil didn't preoccupy that man with just religion. And I call religion, man, just having church. And, boy, we can come together, man, and we can have some good church, boy. I'm talking about, boy, where we get the, man, feeling stuff, our emotions get stirred up, especially when the man has a little charisma. And, boy, I'm talking about, boy, he can stir up our emotion and everything else. And, boy, we come out of the place after the service over and say, boy, we had good church today, and church sure was good today. And it was. In a lot of cases, it was. But, man, that's not the purpose for the church, is for us to come and say we had good church. The purpose, boy, for us to assemble ourselves together is to learn how to be the church. See, it's one thing to have good church, but it's a greater thing, man, that after having good church, then go out into our everyday circle of influence and be the church. I'm going to say that again. Hey, listen, it's a good thing to have church and to have good church and to hear the word of God and to have our emotions stirred up and everything else and be inspired, man. But it's a greater thing, man, to after having done that and received that, then go out and be that man, that influence in the earth. Go out and be that royal priesthood. Go out and be the representation, man, of the good word that we heard. Go out, man, and, man, establish that in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our circle of influence, in our community, in our parishes, our counties, in our state, in our country, in all the world. For the word said this, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end gonna come. The end ain't gonna come when you see wars and strategy of wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and all these things that are coming upon the earth and all these crises that we come up that we see that's on the earth and everything else. That ain't when the end gonna come when you see all those things happen. Them things been happening from the very beginning. The end gonna come, boy, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. So, boy, the coming of Jesus Christ, man, it don't come, man, by no circumstance or no situation that come upon the earth. Man, it going to come when a message is proclaimed. Hallelujah. And that message must be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to every nation. And then, going to come. Hallelujah. One second, please. Just give me a moment. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to take care of a little business right quick, but let's get back into the Word of God, you know. And this is the destination. that God has for our life. Amen. And when we can come out of having good church and go and be the church, then that's what's going to bring glory to our God. Why? Because then after having left the good message and the good service and everything else, there's a means to an end within to go out and be the church. So it's a good thing, like I was saying, to have good church and to have our emotions stirred up and everything else, man. But it's a greater thing to be the church. Glory to God. And man, that's where we have knowledge. That's where we have need of knowledge and understanding of what God is doing. Not just what our church is doing or our denomination are doing or our ministers are doing or what mankind are doing or what Trump is doing or what anybody else is doing, man. Listen, the greatest thing, man, is when we come to the knowledge, man, of what God is doing in the earth. Glory to God. And then, man, instead of us trying to get God in on what we are doing to help him do this, then we flip the script and we allow God to incorporate us in on what he's doing. See, it's a good thing to come up with good ideas and good plan and good programs and good conferences and all these things and good things that we do in the community for God. Those are good things. But a greater thing is when, man, God wants to do all them things through us. Not when we want to do them things through him, but when he want to do them things through us. That's a difference. They look like twins, but they're different. Hallelujah, Lord. But, hey, it's a good thing of what we can do for God. But a greater thing is what God can do for us. 1 second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I seem to be having a few little interruptions here, but that's all right. You know, it's good. One thing about the Holy Ghost, boy, he's going to lead and guide us into the truth and to the reality. And what we need to know is that, boy, I'm talking about when Jesus Christ, man, before he left this earth, well, he did one final act. What he did, he put his hand on his disciples' head, and the Bible says, and he breathed upon them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. That word receive, man, come from, that's not a word, that's a grammatical construct. It comes from a word, the word is seize, C-E-I-V-E. And then it got a prefix before it, re. Re mean go back, see mean to have. So when you say receive the Holy Spirit, then he literally saying, man, here, have the Holy Spirit again. You once had it. When God, man, breathed into man's nostril, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the Holy Spirit that God put on the inside of man. In Genesis chapter 3, man lost that Holy Spirit. But boy, at the end of Jesus Christ, man, work that he did, boy, he placed his hand up on them disciples and said, hey, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In other words, here, you've been cleansed from all your unrighteousness through everything that I've done for you, but it's for this purpose right here. Why? So that you might get back on the inside of you, not just around you, not just among you, not just what will come upon you and then leave, like he did, man, in the Old Testament prophets, man. He said, this one's going to come up on you. He's going to come not live among you, but he's going to come live on the inside of you. And when he come live on the inside of you, it's for a purpose. What? That's to bring you, man, and lead you into the knowledge of the truth. He ain't going to speak of his own. He's going to testify that thing that I told you. If I told you the kingdom of heaven is at hand, within your reach, available to you, then the Holy Spirit is going to make that a reality to you. I'm going to come, man, and I'm going to give you the word, man, and the Holy Ghost is going to take that word that I give you, and he's going to bring it into manifestation in your life, glory to God. That's his role in the scene. My role in the scene is to cleanse you up, man, to first to create you. Well, God's role is to create us. Jesus Christ's role is the man to come and redeem us from the destruction that we lost in Adam's disobedience, and the Holy Spirit, man's job is to, man, lead us into the reality of what we've been redeemed from. Into what we've been restored to. What? And we're not careful, we just get preoccupied with what we've been redeemed from and never come to the knowledge of what we've been restored to. What you've been restored to? You've been restored back into the first two chapters of the Bible. What? The perfect will of God for your life. What? Remember what God created you for? What? To help him establish his governing influence over the territory he called earth that he gave to you and I. That's the big picture. And everything that he's doing through your Bible, man, all the way through your Bible, man, is a means to the consummation or the completeness of that big picture. What's that big picture? Let's make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them, who, mankind, have dominion. What's that? That's power, control, and influence. What? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth, over all the earth. Notice, man, what he gave the man dominion over, he didn't mention nothing about people in there. He said the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the trees, the land, over everything that creeps upon the earth, over all the earth. So he gave us, man, what, dominion over this territory, man, that God gave us called the earth. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, and God blessed them and told them to be fruitful, multiply, and then replenish and subdue this earth. That simply means this, man. Make it on earth just like it is in this little territory that I'm going to place you in, called the Garden of Eden, which is a carbon copy of heaven. So make it on earth just what the Garden of Eden is. That's, man, heaven on earth. Where God placed mankind at after he created him and formed the body from, he placed him in that place. So it's only from that place can you fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny. And while he was in that place, they was on their way to becoming who they already are. Who they already are, what God spoke over their life. What God spoke over their life, let's make them just like us, with our character, with our nation, and our image, and our likeness, and let them have kingship, rulership, authority, dominion, power, control, and influence over all of the earth. And God put a man in an environment where they could do that at. What the garden is, that's a place where things grow from. And boy, what God did, he planted a garden in Eden. And boy, he called it, boy, the Garden of Eden, where the place where we can grow from, where we can grow and become everything that God is speaking over our lives. If he say, boy, by his stripes we are healed, the only way we can really accomplish that, man, and begin to walk in divine health, you got to get back in the Garden of Eden. You got to get back into the presence of the Lord. You got to get back into what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, those perfect chapters. You got to come out of the permissive will of God that was taking place, man, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up to, boy, the coming of Jesus Christ. You got to come out of there. That was all right for that time. The Bible says in Hebrews, in time past, God dealt with us in those ways and through religion and through ritual laws and traditions and everything else. But in this day and time, man, he's dealing with us a little bit different, man. He's dealing with us according to his perfect will now, not his permissive will. All the Old Testament stories and preaching and teaching and everything else, all that was God's permissive will. Because what God was dealing with was mankind who had fallen from grace, who had gotten put out of the presence of the Lord, got put out of the Garden of Eden, lost the Holy Spirit, lost the divine connection between God and man in heaven and earth, and lost the place that they were designed, man, to impact the earth, man, the whole earth, man, from lost all of that. In one man's disobedience, Adam, lost your identity, lost your who you really are, lost your source, where you really come from, lost your reason for existing, your purpose, man, who, why you really here, lost your potential, man, what you really can do, and lost, man, the big picture, what, the destination. Or where you going to end up in. We lost all of that, man, you know. And man, and after we lost all of that, then God started dealing with mankind now according to his not perfect will, the way he was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But in Genesis chapter 3, he never left them. He never forsook them. Even though they had messed up, even though we didn't mess up, he ain't going to never leave you. He ain't going to never forsake you. But he can always be around you, but that ain't enough for him to be around us. He was always around the children of Israel. He was always around Adam. After he fell, you know, he was around them. But before he fell, he wasn't just around them. He was on the inside of them, glory to God. And they were led by the Spirit of God. And it wasn't until men after they got separated from this Holy Spirit, man, and the purpose of God. And down through time, man lost his identity. Lost, man, his source, where he originated from, lost his purpose, lost his potential, and lost, man, you know, the knowledge, man, of where, boy, he going to end up at. Lost all of that. But the good news is, man, you know, through what Jesus Christ had done for us and all that we lost in Adam's disobedience, to start operating in the permissive will of God instead of the perfect will of God, all that's been restored back to us. Glory to God. And boy, as you come back into the Garden of Eden, why? Because it ain't no more angels dealt with flaming swords. It's a door now. And the door ain't got no key to it. The door is open 24/7. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm not it. I'm the door to it. That's why I say, man, we've been preaching, man, the door, and the people don't know what's behind the door. What's behind the door, Arthur? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And because you don't know that, man, then you're just preoccupied, man, with worshiping at the door, praising at the door, giving thanksgiving, man, at the door, giving glory and honor to the door. And listen, that's a good thing, but, man, there's more to it than that. Man, that don't bring no glory to God when we're just worshiping at the door. What brings glory to God, man, when we come on through the door and get everything that's behind the door? What's behind the door? All of the kingdom of heaven. What? What God gave you from the very beginning. What you lost in Adam, disobedience, restored back to you. So instead of living, when you come to the knowledge, the kingdom theology of the Bible, and you stop trying to live your life, man, to get to heaven, you start living your life as though you were there already. You stop trying to quit sinning and quit doing this and live right, man, to get saved. You start living that way because you are saved. That's a big difference. More people, man, trying to live right, man, so that they can get to heaven. And think if they don't, man, then they ain't going to go to heaven, man. You know, if they don't do this and quit doing this and quit this and do this and all that, man. And they're trying to earn your own way. That's providing a name for yourself. That's providing salvation for yourself. When all the time it's a gift from God. When you don't stop, you do those things, you come out of sin, you stop trying to sin, and you start trying to live righteous, not to get saved, but because you are saved. You do those things, man, not trying to earn, man, God's favor. Well, then you do those things, man, because God's favor, man, has been given unto you as a gift. His favor has always been there. His grace has always been there from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve, them, man, ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man, listen, man, they couldn't save themselves. They tried. Just like, man, what religion do, they try to save you. You try to do the best you can, but that wasn't good enough. You remember what they did. They put leaves on them, man, to try to cover up, man, their nakedness. What's their nakedness? Out of position. I ain't talking about not having no clothes on. I'm talking about out of position with God. The righteous have become unrighteous. The saved have become unsaved. Out of position, man, with God. What God did? Man, God, man, sacrificed a life, man. What life? A life of an animal. The life is in the blood. So blood, man, was the sacrifice, man, because it represented a life. So God, man, covered them up, man. And who was that? That's God's grace. Providing salvation for mankind, man, through ritual laws, man, and ceremonies that they all did from that point on, man. What that is, that's God's grace that worked way back in the beginning, all the way down through time. That boy, at the appointed time, then came this Jesus Christ, boy. And what was he full of? I'm talking about not just little bit pieces of it. What was he full of? The Bible says he was full of grace and truth. That's the fullness of God's grace. Hallelujah. Well, boy, they're not trying to, but have redeemed our lives from the destruction that Adam sold us into and restored us back to the place that God originally intended and created us to be in. What's that place? In his presence, filled with the Holy Spirit, with a mandate and an assignment. What? To be productive, to be fruitful, to multiply. I mean, produce a whole lot of children. Replenish. That means, man, I'm talking about, boy, fill the earth with the glory of God. And then it says subdue it. That means master it, control it, man. What? Boy, I'm talking about corner the market in it. For what purpose, Arthur? So that when it's all said and done, it'll be on earth just like it is in heaven. What you talking about, Brother Arthur? I'm talking about the kingdom theology of the Bible, that the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of. Otherwise, man, you'll be trying to put the pieces of a puzzle together without knowing the destination, without knowing the end, once you put all the pieces together. Like I said last week, you know, the Bible is like a big puzzle with 1,000 pieces in it. And if I just gave you the box, man, the puzzle in the box without the top on it, you know you have a puzzle. and you know you got the 1,000 pieces. But if I just give you that puzzle, man, you, and I ask you, what is this here? You say, I don't know what it is, man. All I know is it's a puzzle. But, and, man, I don't know what it is once it's all put together. I don't know what it is. So since I don't know what it is, and I start putting a few pieces together and it might look familiar, then I come up with my own concept of what the end is when I finish. Why? The only reason why I like that because you didn't see the big picture. You didn't see the top of the box. You don't know the top of the box. And because on the top of the box of a puzzle, they put on the top of the box the picture of all them 1,000 pieces once it's put together. But if you don't know the big picture, if you don't know what the puzzle is once it's all put together, then you just start putting pieces together, man, you know, and not knowing, man, the destination. That's how it is, man, in religion. That's how it is in the concept of a lot of believers. They got the puzzle, they got the puzzle, they got the Bible, they got scriptures, they got all them pieces and everything else, and they can quote them and we can preach them and do all them things else to it. But if you don't know the big picture, the end, then, man, you'll just be going around and around and around that circle like the children of Israel was, man, once Moses brought them out of the bondage and slavery of Pharaoh's and his kingdom. Same way Jesus Christ did. Come and, man, purchase us back from the slavery of the devil and out of his kingdom. Well, this world system that we live in. That's supposed to be on earth like it is in heaven, but we know it ain't like that now. But that don't, man, listen, just because it ain't like that now and manifestation in your natural eye, that don't mean that it ain't already done. Why? Because the king then spoke, baby. And what the king say, I don't care what the deal is. I don't care what the devil did after what the king spoke. He can't nullify the word that had gone forth out of the king's mouth. You think the devil word and what he did in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 concerning Adam and Eve and got them separated from God, you think that can stop, man, what God doing? No, that just, man, you know, that just cause a little conflict in it, but you can't alter the word. God did, and you can't stop, man, what the king said. If he said the boy is the done deal, if he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. It's already done. Ain't no word that ain't gone for out of his mouth going to return to him born. What he's looking for is a people, man, that can return it to him. We just returning pieces of the puzzle to him, but we ain't returning, man, the big picture to him. We ain't proclaiming, man, to him and to one another and to mankind the big picture. What's the big picture? That it be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. That's the big picture. If I put the top on that box, man, then that's what, with the picture of what all them pieces going to look like once it's all put together, then that's what you're going to see. What? You're going to see man living in heaven on earth forever and ever and ever. Now, if you don't have that concept, and if you don't have that concept, it's because you don't know the precepts. What's the precept? The original idea. What's the concept? When those ideas are conceived and they become picture thoughts, they become thoughts, then you start thinking about it, man, and pondering it and everything else. And then the third stage, man, you start speaking it. And the most crucial stage is after you speak it, you start acting on it. Hallelujah. It becomes practical application, or application that we practice. We don't just be hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word. And that's the man that's blessed in all his deeds. He's the one that not just hear the word, but the one that apply that to his everyday life on a daily basis. Line up on line, precept up on precept, little by little, man. Doing what? Becoming who you already are. Who you already are. I told you, you mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. You a king and a queen. Listen, that's far greater than an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a pope, a president, a prime minister. It's for all the titles. That's the greatest of them all, man. But a child of the Most High God. That's a king. That's a ruler. That's an ambassador of God, a representative of God and his kingdom. That's who you really are. Who what? Man, who have all things. What? Jesus said this here, boy. The Bible said this. We are no longer servants, man, but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's in your Bible in Romans chapter 8 and in Galatians chapter 4. Romans chapter 8, around 15, 16, 17, it says, man, listen, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, we are no longer servants, but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. Glory to God. What you saying, man? I'm telling my boy, everything that the Father had, man, belonged to Jesus. And the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. Or what? Everything that he owned the whole thing. He inherited the whole thing. And we joint heirs with him. It means everything he has, we have too. But why we ain't operating in that? Because, man, you don't have no faith in that. And why you don't have no faith in that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you ain't been hearing, man, the big picture. You've been hearing about all the little bitty pieces, and that's all good because all them little bitty pieces lead to the big picture. Same thing. If I gave you the box, man, you know, with the picture on top of it, man, you know what this thing looks like, that it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven, because that's the picture that's on the top of the box. But if I gave you that picture, man, the box, man, with the picture of what the puzzle looks like once it's all put together, and then you open up the box and don't have no pieces, then that ain't going to work either. Just like having all the pieces and not having the top of the box, then you don't know what you're doing either. Just like, man, having the big picture and everything else, and then don't have the little piece of the puzzle, then you don't have the material that it takes, man, to complete the big picture. So they both need it. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. But you got to understand something, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the pieces. The gospel that he preached, that's the big picture. That's the top of the box. What are you going to preach? You come preaching, man, who you really are, where you really come from, what you really can do, why you really here, and where you going to really end up at. What is that? In heaven on earth. You've been praying it all your life. Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, yeah, he in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That's praise and honor and worship for all the great things that he has done, man, for giving you the pieces to the puzzle. And then you say, Lord, now, Lord, as I put these pieces of the puzzle together, let your will be done. Not my will, not my church will, not my religious will, not my denomination will, not the Muslim will, not the Hindu will, not the Buddhist will, not the Catholic will, not the Christian will, not the church will, man, but your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, well, on earth, just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Boy, that's what Jesus Christ come preaching, man. That's the will of God for your life. That's the perfect will of God for your life. And I come to put you back on course toward death. Listen, when I came in, the prophet side, Isaiah said, boy, a virgin shall conceive, boy, and we shall call his name Emmanuel, God and man. And he coming to this earth with a perfect one. They say, boy, and what perfect boy? He came with a government on his shoulder. What kind of government? The government of heaven. I ain't talking about the government of the United States and the government of other countries and how they establish their laws and the way they run the territory and everything else. No, he come with a different government. He come with the government of heaven, the governing system of heaven, the way heaven is governed, the law that governs it, not the law of our Constitution, man, of the United States of America, man. Thank God for that, man, but I'm talking about greater laws. Thank God for the law that God gave Moses. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not have no other. But I'm talking about greater laws. Let me mention this while I'm right here. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, man, God established some law that preceded man, the law that he gave Moses. Listen, man, here's some law that perhaps the church don't even have the knowledge of, man, you know, because they don't know the kingdom theology of the Bible, man. The first law that God gave a man, not that thou shalt have no other God before me, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not kill. That's what God gave mankind who was already separated from God, who was already fallen, who was already having other gods before him, who was already stealing, who was already killing, who was already committing adultery, who was already, man, coveting, man, who was already doing all them things that he told them not to do. But boy, there are some original laws, man, that the church got to come to the knowledge of. What's that? That's the law of life. Glory to God. What's the law of life? What the king said. And I'm talking about not what the king said in his permissive will. That's a law of life, too. But I'm talking about the original law of life. What the king said from the beginning. Not just in the beginning, but from the beginning. That's a different thing right there. In the beginning, man, it got plenty of beginnings. And that beginning of when God created the heaven and the earth, the beginning when God created man. But it got some beginnings that before that. They got the beginning when God, man, really created the original territory, the unseen realm, heaven. We got from the beginning when God created man, the angelic host, all the angels and all the things that were going on up there. That's way before mankind came on the scene. And the earth, that's the beginning when God created man, the universe. That's the beginning. That's the beginning when God created the earth and placed mankind on it. That's the beginning. So we got a whole bunch of beginnings. But I'm talking about that which was from the beginning. Who is the beginning? Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. In other words, I begin the beginning. All of the beginning that ever was, I begun. I ain't it. I begun them. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And let me tell you something, boy. He was saying, what I begun, I'm going to complete. Glory to God. And what he begun? He begun to establish, man, you know, the culture of heaven. On the territory that he gave you and I and placed us on more, said, Lord, to establish it on the territory that he gave us, what? The earth. For what purpose, Lord? What's the big picture? So it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, if you're tuning into this radio broadcast, that's its purpose. And I always want to mention this. If you don't know the purpose for a thing, you're a miss at the use of it, or you're an abnormally used. And that's so much church abuse and abnormal use, man, of the ministry, man, of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, man. Lord, I ain't saying there's no evil thing. I'm just saying, man, that we stopped at the means and have not continued to go on toward the destination. Same thing. If you just look at the pieces of the puzzle without knowing, man, what it's like when you all put it together and you get preoccupied with just the pieces, then you stopped at the means. What's the mean to get to the destination? The way of getting to the destination. You need the pieces. You need all the methods that we've been preaching. You need a religion in time past, man. But what you need right now, boy, is the gospel of the kingdom. You need to hear that. You need to be preached there. Because that's what Jesus Christ come preaching. That's what he came preaching. His first inaugurational message, his first public message, his first public message was this. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven has arrived, or is near, or is within your reach, or at hand, is here. And when I finish doing what I'm doing, it ain't going to just be at hand or near or within your reach. It's going to be on the inside of you once you receive it. Now, if you don't receive it, it's still among you. It's still around you. It's still obtainable. But in order for you to have it and begin to walk in the reality of it, then you got to receive it. You get what that word receive means? To have again. To have again what? What God was doing in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and the way Adam and Eve were living in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Unbroken fellowship, man. No sin, no death, none of that, man. Just walking and talking and communicating with God on a daily basis. And watch this here. It wasn't a man, it was a personal relationship. Thank God for the corporate relationship that we have when we all assemble ourselves together. But I would say, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. That's a good thing to come together and have church. But I'm talking about something greater, man. When you can begin to have church, man, you know, just by yourself, glory to God. When you can walk and talk with God, man, on a daily basis, 24/7, not just 2 or 3 hours, man, on a Sunday or an hour or so Bible study or a prayer meeting. But I'm talking about being one-on-one. Developing, man, a personal relationship with your Father in heaven. And that's what the devil don't ever want to take place. Why? Because he know once that begin to take place and once that relationship begin to be established in the hearts of mankind, then his influence and his power and his control and his authority over our lives will be broken. Hallelujah. And then we'll flip the script. Instead of the devil dangling a circumstance, situation, and symptoms and calling us to react to it, man, we'll begin to dangle circumstances and situations and symptoms, man, of the promises of God, of the will of God, of the purpose of God, of the intent of God. And when we begin to decree and declare that to our circumstances, then, boy, our circumstances, situations, and symptoms begin to, man, fall prey to that. Same way it was, man, when the Bible says it wasn't nothing but darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Instead of the darkness, man, dictating to man, God dictated to the darkness. And he dictated what he wanted, not what he was. He knew it was dark out there because it was out here. But he didn't say it sure was dark out here. He could have said that because that's what he was. But he didn't speak what was. He called the things that be not as though they were. He spoke what he wanted. And in the midst of all that darkness, he said, let there be light. Same thing, boy. He gives us man made us in his image and his likeness. So in the midst of all your adverse circumstances and situations and symptoms that oppose itself against the known will of God for your life, instead of it dictating to you, you flip the script and start dictating to it. Just like what Jesus did when the devil came to him right before he began his ministry, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, man, where he confronted the devil and dealt with the devil. And the devil came out of his repertoire with his circumstances, his situation, and his temper. And some of them was fat. He said, hey, man, listen, man, turn these stones into bread. Jesus, man, come out. Instead of Jesus allowing him being hungry, man, that fasted 40 days, man. You think he wasn't hungry naturally? But, boy, he didn't come out there and say, you're right, man. I sure am hungry, man. Let me turn these stones into, boy, a great meal, man. He said, man, just the opposite. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Instead of letting the circumstance, situation, and symptom dictate to him, he dictated to it. And same way he said, as I am, so are you. The work that I do, so can you. So instead of allowing the circumstance, situation, and symptom to dictate to us, when the devil comes in and attacks our bodies, man, with some kind of sickness or disease, or come and attack our mind, our soul, man, with guilt and condemnation, man, then we can come out of our repertoire, boy, with the word of God. It is written, hallelujah, boy, by his stripes I'm healed, glory to God. Hey, boy, it is written, boy, that, boy, he forgive all my iniquities and heal all my diseases and redeem my life from destruction and crown me with loving kindness and tender mercy. So that on a daily basis, man, I'm renewed day by day by day by day by day by day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But that is, that's ruling and reigning, man, in life. How, boy? Not in your own strength and in your own ability, but taking, boy, the situation, the circumstances, and the spoken word of God and decreeing that. That's why Jesus was so successful, man, in his ministry and what he did and fulfilling his purpose. You know why? Because he said this, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. As he is, I am too. Glory to God. Then he went on a little bit further, and he's saying, as I am, you are too. And the work that I do, you can do too. And as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you too. I'm going to fill you up with the Holy Spirit so that you can come to the knowledge of the big picture, and then I'm going to send you into your everyday circle of influence, boy, and impact others, man, to fulfill, man, their God-given purpose and destiny. First, fulfill it in your life, and then inspire others to fulfill it in their lives too. What? The perfect will of God for all our lives. Once again, what's that perfect will of God, Brother Arthur? That it be in all our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's the destination, man, that God, man, is on his way to fulfilling in all our lives. That's the consummation of everything. In the first two chapters, man, is Genesis is the perfect will of God. From chapter 3 all the way all the way up until Revelation chapter 21 and 22, everything from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 20 is a means to that end. Because in the Bible says in Isaiah, he declared the end from the beginning. Like I told you, he showed you the big picture first. And then he started putting the pieces together. And once the pieces are all put together, then you see the exact image and picture of that you saw on the back. You see it when all those pieces put together. But like I say, boy, the big picture of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Man was ruling and reigning on the earth in a garden called Eden and becoming who God created him to do and fulfilling God's purpose, boy, to make the whole earth like heaven. The devil came in and tripped them and they fell. And everything that God was doing, man, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up until Revelation chapter 20 is a means to fulfill that original intent and desire and plan and purpose that he has for mankind. And all them pieces of the puzzle that's in there in your Bible, from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 20, is all the pieces of the puzzle. Listen at this. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, let me just say this. In Revelation chapter 20, it coming to the consummation of what? The devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, all them were cast into the lake of fire, man. Death. All that cast into the lake of fire. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil cast into the lake of fire. No more. No more devil to contend with. No more dying. No more sin. No more nothing, man. And then the Bible said it did. And that's it in Revelation chapter 20. First thing that God did was, at the end, was got rid of the devil's influence over all our life permanently, once and for all. And then, boy, he finished, man, the consummation. He finished what he begun. What? Behold, Revelation chapter 21, I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the city of peace, man, the kingdom of heaven, man, coming, man, down, man, to the earth, man, in its fullness. Right now, it ain't in its fullness. It's on the inside of us now. But boy, boy, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it's not only on the inside of us, but all of us who have gone on up to heaven, but boy, when it's all said and done, we're coming back to the earth, boy. Even if God got to create a new one, boy, new heaven and a new earth. No more phenomenon, no more seed, no more crime, no more dying, none of that, man, none of that mess, boy. And it's on earth like it is in heaven. And boy, I'm talking about all of us coming down from heaven. The place where we went to, I don't ever want you to think we ain't going to heaven. All I'm trying to let you know is that ain't your final destination. Your final destination is the completion of what God started. What God started in Genesis chapter 1? Establishing, man, his kingdom on earth. What God finished in Genesis chapter 21 and 22? That's the finished product. That's once all them pieces are put together of the puzzle, and you see the finished product. What's the finished product? The holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. And the Bible say this, and we shall, who is the holy city in the New Jerusalem? That's all of us. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the fullness of it. That's the consummation of it. Coming back to the earth, the way it started off at in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And the Bible say, and we shall reign on the earth forever. Glory to God. So what's that, boy? That's the end. That's the consummation. That's when all of the pieces are put together. That's the final destination. What? We shall reign on the earth. What is like on the earth? Not like it is on the earth now. It's on the earth just like it is in heaven. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is a garden of Eden. The whole earth is where the presence of the Lord is there. And the only way the presence of the Lord is there, because God is living on the inside of all of his family, mankind. God in us. Hallelujah. And us on earth. Ruling and reigning forever and ever, and earth is a colony of heaven. The same thing that's going on in heaven, going on the earth. And God's strategy of accomplishing this is through his family of son called mankind. He lost that, and his way of re-establishing this is through the body of believers that he called the church, the call I want. So our assignment is to reestablish that back on the earth again and expand it until the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, my family, the LaBelle family, and our ministry here in the Bunker, Louisiana area, Kingdom Life Fellowship, World Outreach Ministry. And listen, our phone number is 713-870-3776. I got about a minute left, you know, and if you don't remember this number, don't have nothing to get it on, because I'm going to mention it one more time. But you can always call the radio station. You know, all of you listen to it, you're familiar with it. KAYT, FM Radio, 88.1. You can call that station, man, get direction, get the number to that station, and just ask the people, man, who's that program, man, that come on, man, on Saturday from 12 to 1? Do you have the contact number? And then they'll be glad to give it to you. But just in case, man, you want it right now, I want to know the area code 713-870-3776. We have been sent into your life, man, to be a blessing, man, to you and your family, to help you rediscover the gospel of the kingdom, so you can get back in on God's perfect will for your life. Again, my wife, Gail, and I, and my family, we love y'all with the love of the Lord. We have just one desire, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and so shall it be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, I come against every adversity, every circumstance, situation, something that will stop you, man, from reaching, man, your God-given destiny. I bind it up in the name of Jesus, and I decree and declare that God's perfect, God's best for your life is being done right now and forever and in the mighty name of Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall ever be able to conquer. Every sickness and disease and germ and virus that touch our bodies, God, instantly, that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Listen, God bless you. We love you and look forward to talking to you again next week. Remember, 713-870-3776. Kingdom Life Ministry. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship.